great to have my wife here with me. This is the first time she's visiting here. Benny and Jackson, we've been proximate. We have not been here together, so she's super excited to have here. I think she's the better half. She's the smarter half, the better looking half, and that's always a good thing for our children's sake. I'll tell you that much. And I'm going to say, does anybody have a guy, I guess, what this clock is? Yeah, it's probably the barrel clock, right? It's pretty reasonable. And I think this is ironic. If you pay attention to this shape and this clock, this is very applicable to our lesson. So let's go ahead and put the pull square on there. Pay attention. And so this is the final lesson. It's one that I did a version of it. I've been living it over the last 11 months. But I did a version of this a few weeks ago in Little Rock, but I have tailored it very specifically to you. Sydney has told me a few things you guys are doing, and super excited. I do know a few of you here, and I appreciate what was shared at communion. I think this may speak to you just a little bit. But it's called The Fight Within You. And let's go to God in prayer, and we can discuss this, and hopefully we'll have a great time together this morning. Amen?
Amen.
Father, we come before you, Father, helping God, you put each one of us in a situation that causes us to fight for ourselves. Mm-hmm. Father, that causes us to examine ourselves. That, Father, you bring these challenges, Father, not to punish us, but to put us on a course for effective lives here.
Yes.
That, Father, sometimes some of us have more difficult lives than others, but it takes, in order, that's the path you want for us to be more effective and to be able to walk truly in faith. I pray for this time, Father, that we can come away from it being more faithful, Father, being more committed to being surrendered to you, and know that you will take care of us, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
So, the fight within you. So, we're going to come back. This is just a beautiful little sailboat. And but if you pay attention to this, there's a little shape here. So I find that kind of fascinating. That's a boat without its sails up. So, our text today, we're going to have just a couple texts, but this is our primary text. It's Philippians 4:11. And it says, not that I'm speaking of being in need. This is Paul. He says, not that I'm speaking of being in need. He says, for I have learned in whatever situation I am to be content. Thank you, Cindy. Content. Here's another translation. It says, NAS, it says, for I have learned to be content in whatever. Whatever. What's going on? I know this. Whatever's happening, I'm what?
Content.
I'm content. Would you like to be content in whatever circumstance you find yourself?
Yes.
Hello.
Are you content? This is a good question. I don't want to assume you're not content. Are you content now? Are you looking for contentment? Because Paul learned how to be content whatever was happening in his life.
That's right.
It says whatever circumstance I happen to be, I am content to be. Would you like to be content no matter whatever circumstances you find yourself?
Sure.
Alone or outnumbered, underpaid, underappreciated, discouraged. You know, the car's not running quite right, life's not treating you fair. These circumstances that come on, would you like to learn to be content in those circumstances?
Yes.
So, I used to interpret this in the past in terms of this word scarcity and greed, like thinking that as long as I didn't have too little, I'd be happy, right? As long as there's some food in the refrigerator, I'll be okay. I don't want to complain. Or as long as there's some money in the bank account, I don't have too much, so I don't want to be seen as greedy. But it was just that sweet spot. Well, I have enough stuff to keep me happy, keep me well fed. People have it worse than me. Do you follow? To me, it was a status of, it was a measurement. It was related to my heart that I wouldn't become greedy or whiny. I'm a whiny person sometimes. I don't like that. I'm trying to work on it, but I'm 52. It's not looking good. You know? But that's how I looked at it. But here's what's interesting. In this Philippians 4:11, oops, let's go back. In Philippians 4:11, it has a word that only appears in the Bible in one place.
Come on.
This word content is autarkis. Close. Any Greek scholars in here? Great. Okay, it's autarkis. Okay?
Autarkis, that's it, okay?
So you come across one. But let's not pay attention so much to the pronunciation. Let's pay attention to what it says make sure I can do this. Okay. It says sufficiency within. It occurs only in Philippians 4:11, where it refers to positive self-sufficiency. We'll discuss this word, inward adequacy, i.e. that that comes through the indwelling power of Christ. So as I said, it's the only place in which this word appears, but here's, I know there's a lot here. Let's break this down a little bit. What this means, it says that you are independent. Are there any independent people here? Loners? On your own? But it says you're independent because the Holy Spirit sustains you. You're independently godly because you are reliant on the Holy Spirit to take you there. That's a different kind of independent than what we know in the world.
Yeah.
This means you're able to be on your own no matter what circumstances you're in because God's power dwells within you.
That's right.
Or you have learned to allow His power to empower you.
Amen.
You've let Him help you be self-sufficient. Our flesh is not self-sufficient. It's always needy. Always wants more. Always wants. It always has needs. But there's a place where our spirit can get to that we can learn to be content, which means we are self-sufficient, inwardly adequate. So what does that look like? Let's use a metaphor of a sailboat. This is our lives. God, this is post-baptism, by the way. We're just going to assume that this is somebody who's been baptized and forgiven. Don't you look pretty? This is what you look like. Mm-hmm. You look very pretty. Don't you want to hang out with that boat?
Mm-hmm.
Just a little bit? Now, if you don't swim, I get it. Just pretend you can swim. I know how this works. All right, so, but it's a pretty little boat. And it has so much potential. A sailboat is powered by what? There's no motors on this one. This is a true sailboat. What's it powered by?
Wind.
On the wind. Does the captain dictate the winds?
No.
What's he have to do? He's got to learn. So for us, let's play with this for a little bit. I'll come back to it though. For us though, I want you to think about it. Do you dictate how the spiritual things work in your life? How the Holy Spirit works in your life? Do you dictate it?
No.
Think about that. We'll come back to that. So here's an example. We want to go up to San Francisco. I grew up right outside San Francisco, a town called Sonoma. Anyway, you could take a boat to Hawaii, and this you could go, hey, let's chart a course. When you drive a car, what do? You find the straightest lines you can get on, and you go. Well, apparently, still, that's not how it works. This is the GPS for a sailboat. I have no idea what to say, except I know this. Each one of these is an arrow. Okay. It kind of shows us which way the current goes. Okay, it goes this way, goes this way. So a captain takes all this and does his thing. That's why they call them captains. And said, this is actually what it looks like. This is how you get to Hawaii on a sailboat. You go down the coast, all the way down here, and now that's the way the current goes. When you want to go home, you don't go straight. You go up, and you go over, and you go back down. So, when it comes to our lives, the first thing we're going to do is I'll come back to something here. Let's just talk about God's timing. It says that from one man He made all the nations that they should inhabit the whole earth, and He marked out their appointed times in history and the boundaries of the lands. God did so they would seek Him and perhaps reach out for Him and find Him, though He is not far from any of us. So I want to camp on this idea of this inward adequacy. If you want to become where you're content in all circumstances, as Paul learned, you have to learn to find out how the Holy Spirit works. What's one of the ways we know? What's something comes to mind? Say, Holy Spirit, what works with God? What works and what doesn't work? In terms of our behavior, if we're going to behave a certain way, what works, what does not work? Humility is supposed to work, right? What does God do? He opposes what? That's right. Not working. I know it's early right. In the morning, but I'm not here to learn that. I already know this stuff.
Come on.
I want to pass it on. So it means you got to interact. It's okay. There's no wrong place to be. You don't know it, so you don't know. But what's the way that God will oppose us? Sorry?
The priority.
Just one person. How, guys, this is not complicated.
Right.
Let's step in here for a second. What does God oppose?
Proud.
Pride.
I guess two people.
Proud.
What does God oppose?
Pride.
Very good. What does he lift up?
The humble.
That's right. Yeah, I like that. That was faster. Everybody got that. Maybe there's a bunch of humble people here. That's all. We got rid of pride a long time ago. We have no more pride. So it's like a sailboat. In order for a sailboat to go to be powered, it's got to put, well, what's the first thing a sailboat has to do?
Get wind.
Let's go back to the sailboat for a second.
Put up your sails.
Yeah. Woo! Someone's got, who said that? Right back there in the back? Yeah. Who said you can't learn in the back row? Alright. Let's go back there for a second. Have fun. How far is this? If we have a big wind, it might drift a little bit, but how far is it going to go?
Not far.
But compared to with the winds, remember the very first thing we looked at was on the screen? Was the cross? And then what was that barrel cloth? Isn't that fascinating that you take the barrel cloth, you go to the cross, you can turn a sail, make a sail out of the barrel cloth.
Yeah.
Fascinating. How the Spirit is moving there in a fun way. So one of the things we have to learn is that if we want to be contented, we have to put our sails out.
Yeah.
And I want to tell you something. How many people have been baptized here? How many people are in the walk, trying to walk here? Okay, all right, here you go. All right, so if you don't put your sails out spiritually, I want to imagine you're on a body of water. The spiritual journey, you're on a body of water that has a current. And if you do not put your sails out, what's going to happen to that boat?
It's going to drift off.
It's going to drift away.
We're next to the mighty Mississippi. Is it 5 miles an hour, 6 miles an hour? How much does that move? It moves somewhere around 5 or 6 miles an hour. That was that? It moves. It's called the mighty Mississippi for a reason. Mm-hmm. If you go out in the Mississippi and you don't have a power engine, or if you don't have sailboat and the winds aren't right here, it's just going to suck you along. And the funny thing about it is, you don't put your sails out. If we're not out there with our sails out and giving God an opportunity to use us, we're up here and we're just drifting. You know, it's funny. One time you just also, it's amazing how far you can drift if the current is strong. How strong is the world's current in your life?
Mm-hmm.
The world that you live in, is it strong? Is it a subtle breeze over where you are? Or do you get temptations on a daily basis?
Yes.
An hourly basis?
Yes.
Yes.
Minute by minute.
Yep.
That's the, we're fighting that. And so for us to get to a place where we're content, we've got to put ourselves out, but then we have to also do this. We have to find where humility is.
That's right.
And we say, you know what? The winds of bats and failure are pride. I need to stay out of the winds of pride. I need to find humility.
Mm.
What you guys did in the first third time I asked it, you got more humble. I don't mean that in a bad way. This is what's going to require. You can't let one person answer. You have to answer. They can't answer for you. If you're going to step in, you've got to step into it. Otherwise, you're just going to watch this. Look at how they're doing. Look how far they're going. They're doing really good. Your sails are in, and you're watching someone else put their sails up, and they're just going, and you're just like, before you know it, you're envious of their success. But then you just never put you're never stepped into humility. And what's that? We're not humble, we're prideful. You got two choices. He sets it up pretty clearly. You got a choice. And for us to learn to be independently adequate, inwardly adequate, you've got to be humble. There's not another way I know to do that. If you find it, please call me. I'll give you my number. I'd love to have something other than be humble work. Especially a shortcut. Not find one yet. And I don't know if you're going to find one. So, what I would encourage you is to think about this next verse here. We read, it says that God set the exact time and place, and did it for a purpose. He said, so that they would seek him and perhaps reach out to him and find him, though he is not far from every one of us. We will not understand this until we have our sails out and we want to let God take us someplace. If you had a friend who needed to be rescued, and a cap said, I'll go get him. And it was urgent. There are two captains you're looking at. One has got his sails at the ready. The other says, I'm just going to drift towards him. Who are you going to send to rescue your friend? Who are you going to hire?
Sails
ready.
Sails up. you guys get this?
Yeah.
Who is God going to use to go rescue his children?
Yeah.
I'm not, maybe the weather is scary to you. Maybe you go, it's so scary out there, it's so spiritual. I don't know enough. You know, if you know God, you know enough.
Yeah.
He'll blow your mind with what he can do if you'll but put yourself out. First one I want to talk about this is, the first one was, you got to trust God's timing. This is really important. People get confused. We're like, it's not my time. God, why is it not my time? But the more we ask God, why is this happening? Why is this happening? We are not trusting God's time. We're not trusting it. We're struggling.
That's right.
And we spend more time questioning God than we do listening to what he's doing. And so if we stop that fight, and I can relate to what somebody said about work. Man, it's been rough the last few months. I'll share some more about that. But you guys have some kind of outreach effort going, right? Don't you? You're about to start some 100 for, or thousands of thousand for 100. What is it?
100 for 100.
You're lowering down here. Okay, I get it. I'm just kidding. I think it'd be great for me to do 100 for 100 somewhere. Okay. So it's fantastic. It's a great idea. Now, first, I want to teach you a mentality that I think will help you. Let's say this together. To the empty mind,
the universe surrenders. To the empty mind, the universe surrenders.
I want you to clear your mind right now. I want you just take your mind, stop trying to learn, stop trying to have ideas. I'll slow down. You'll be able to hear me more. You'll get used to my pace of speech. But right now, I want you just to clear your mind. I want you to close your eyes. I want you to think about nothing. I want you to feel like you don't have to learn anything right now. You don't have to be anything. You don't have to do anything. You just want to, like, let God say, God, send me someplace today. Think to yourself, send me someplace. Send me to someone today. Just, God, let me just be used. Let me get my sails out. You take, let me find your current, be humble, and send me someplace. Now open your eyes. I want you to think to yourself, God, send me someplace. Send me to someone. Clear your mind. Take all of these you think you know and get rid of them. Just say this, God, you send me someplace. When you meet somebody, take the judgments off of them. Don't worry about whether they're open, interested, or not. Just let yourself be taken someplace by God's current, by his breeze. Let him take you someplace. And trust that his timing is this exact moment. Now, I say that. It means having no agenda except to be of use to someone somehow. People don't care what you know until they know you care. Then you make this your agenda. It starts with, God, I want to be of use to you to what? Love my neighbor as myself. What is that? One of the commandments the Bible hangs on. What is the first one? Love God with our heart, mind, soul, and strength. Second one is love your neighbor as yourself. It's kind of important.
Yeah.
Trust me.
That's right.
This is a high priority. If you make this your agenda, my agenda is to be of use to my brother or sister out there somehow, to some person.
That's right.
Make that your agenda. Make that your motor. I'm just trying to be your of use somehow to someone today. Don't backfill it. If they come to church and study the Bible and our church grows, or then I feel like I'm used by God. No. Just have a heart to care for them. Wouldn't you like to know that someone woke up today, is looking for you. They don't know looking for you, but they're looking for you and they want to be of some use to you. They want to walk up to you and say, can I be of some use to you today? Can you just be an attaboy to me, an attagirl? Can you just tell me, hang in there, that God is listening, God cares for me? Wouldn't that be nice to know someone's out there looking for you? That's what God is asking you to be. That person for someone, you can be there for them. They don't even know you're coming. But they sure appreciate the fact that you care about them.
Yeah.
No, Jen. We're so full. Right, so Yoda would say, so full we are that we have no room to add anything, something new. Our space is so full. I'm so tired at work. I'm tired of life. I've got dating issues. I've got life and finance issues. I'm so full. You have no room to let people come in. You can't really learn. You got to empty this stuff out. So then you can truly start being used. We all have these problems. That's the baseline. Everybody's got problems. But when you trust God's timing, he can help you. He says, Matthew 10:19, he says, but when they arrest you, This was given from in the first century. When they arrest you, don't even worry about what to say or how to say it. At that time, you'll be given what to say. This is an example of being used by the Holy Spirit. Don't say, "Oh, I'm going to have to say something." No, you don't. You don't have to have it pre-programmed. Go in empty. Let it flow organically. You know what you're trying to do. You're trying to love them. You're trying to care for them. You know, ultimately hope they become a Christian if they're not one. Right?
Right.
Isn't that true?
Yeah.
Do you hope that?
Yes.
Right? Hope they become more godly than they are at the end. You hope some way you can help them, right? Wouldn't that be feel great? So, but this is a place where you don't have to have your speech or, "I'm so nervous, I'm so..." You're nervous because you're not trusting God.
Right.
Right.
You're not focused on just being of use. When you just want to be of use, it doesn't matter. What? Hey, I just care. When we come in and feel like we got to be a certain way, then we feel like we got to perform, got to say it just right, like we're dating. I don't want to mess this dating relationship up.
Yeah.
That's a whole other comment. That's not my specialty. I'll do that to someone else. So, back to this whole idea about, I was having a few time, right time, right place. I was at one of my employers, one of my clients, and we were talking about, we had these random spiritual conversations, and it came up, this Philippians 4:11 came up, and he was talking about being content. Like I told you, I always thought I was having enough, or not complaining about not having more. But the message he had heard from the guy was, "Hey, God has put us in the exact place we need to be." Where's the pointer? Where we need to be. Point on your point of you. Where we need to be. Where we need to be. Not where we want to be, but where we need to be. So I'm like, this is a funny story because I thought God gave me something to give to you guys. So I'm learning to walk in because you get older, your metabolism slows way down, your life just doesn't give you. You know, you want to go to the gym, but the gym hurts.
Yeah.
So, I go walk. I started walking when I was 7 months old and haven't slowed down much since. But I was out walking a couple days ago and I'm walking. I'm on a sidewalk and I walk and all of a sudden I hear this. It's not a snake. I know that sound. It's like a tire. Sure, I'm like, there's no bike. All of a sudden there comes this bicycle. And he's riding by just fine. And I'm like, hissing and the bike and riding, that makes sense. All of a sudden he just goes, I'm like, "Oh, his tire went out." Okay. So what are you thinking about that situation right now? What are you thinking? Good.
If you heard it, then he sort of heard it too.
Yes, he heard it, right? Yeah, right.
Did what's he my fall off the bike?
But no, he slowed down, got off his bike. So I stared at him. You know what I thought?
No. I would think I'm supposed to talk to him.
Why is that?
Coincidences.
You don't. God's timing.
Yeah.
You have faith that that happens. Right? So, let's. Now, to me, it's kind of weird, but I'm in the space where I'm like, "God, did you spot the guy's there?" Like, there's a lot of places. I don't know this guy, but I know I'm going to Jackson. Okay. This will be fun. So, I watch him, and he's standing, and he's thinking. He's like, "Uh-oh." What kind of guy is he? He's like, "I don't know. Is he mad? Is he happy? Who is he? I have no idea." I'm like, I'm watching him. And he looks like he's trying to make up his mind. And he makes up his mind. And I'm already going this way, so it looks like he decides to go this way. So I'm just going for it. God must have blinded his eyes so we can start talking. So I just start talking, asking questions. He's like, I can just feel. He's like, "What? I rode my bike so I could pass pedestrians." I said, "But you got turned into one. Okay?" So you thought you had your own base, but God said, "I need you to slow down." And so it turns out, and he was at the exact point, if he was any shorter, he would have turned around and gone home and walked and got his car and gone to get his kids. He was going to pick up his kids at school, which my kids went to school at that school in the past, not anymore. We have a high schooler now. This is middle school. But, so I just started firing questions at him. And honestly, I didn't have as much of a spiritual purpose I wanted to have, because I don't really know the guy. We're grown men typically want to know who you are before we start talking about God and church. But I thought about it. I said, you know, in my mind, it was God. His name was Brian. I've got his name back in my brain. It's same as a mechanical contractor. But I thought to myself, that happened for a reason. I didn't want to fight it. And sure enough, we talked, got to know each other a little bit on the way there. We talked about 9 minutes there. But the point was, my heart was to trust that. Instead of fighting it, just roll with it.
Mm-hmm.
And
the fact that he was at the exact point in which, and then he turns, he goes on my street when he runs. So if I see him again, we'll talk again. God sets it up. I've got a platform. Hey, man, let me ask you a question. I thought about some stuff I could ask him later. I said, you know, do you believe in God? Like, I think you need to slide your tire. Just saying. I know it sounds crazy. I'm not crazy. I'm typically a, have a real life, but that's what I thought. So there you go. All right. Secondly, we need to learn to be content with the content in our life. Learn to be content with whatever content God is providing in our life. So, I'm going to go back to this. It says, not that I've learned to be, speaking of being in need, for I've learned in whatever situation I am to be content. This autarkis. I'm able to be sustained. And that's what the guy was saying in the conversation at my client's office. He said that wherever you are, God is, he's going to enable you to be there to prepare you for where you're going to go. That if you're content with him, you will be okay in that situation. Here's that self-sufficient and inwardly adequate. So, I'm going to tell you about content. This is the content in my life in the last 11 months. Okay, so my employer came to me, my insurance job. I was doing the ministry for 15 plus years and working a second job. It doesn't pay as much as you'd like, right? So, as you need. So sometimes, like I said, I'm a whiner. God just wants me to work really, really hard. So that's good. But my insurance job, my boss came and said, hey, we're going to cut your pay 30%. And there was not a conversation. It's just what's happening. And so I go, okay. And then, this still happens within about 4 or 6 weeks, 4 or 8 weeks. Then I lost my largest account I've had for 13 years, which is approximately 1/3 of my income. Whammy. Then I got resignated. Now, some of you may not know what that means. There's being terminated and there's resigning. So basically, I got put in a situation where the best choice I had was to resign. People had brought some concerns in the church. It's great. That's always good for us to be open. And at the end of the day, it's either human origin or it's God origin.
That's true.
And we've been in church for 16 years, and my wife's saying, it's about time for a change, honey, and we've been doing this a long time. And two people do kind of hear you after a while. They know where you're coming from. But anyway, the bottom line is this is what happened. So that's a whole other story one time, but I'll leave it there. Then, I lost my stepfather. Then I lost my grandfather. My grandfather had lived to be 100 years, 1 month, 1 day, is my personal hero. He's an awesome man. One of the most fairest human beings I ever know. Then in June of the 21st of the show, I lost my dad. So,
I thought it was three.
One, that's a lot. So you're 11 months. Boom, that's an issue. Would you feel that one? Right?
Yeah.
Your boss comes to you, no conversation, 30%. Yeah, anybody feel that? Yeah, I feel that.
Yeah. Yeah.
If you lose a part of your 30, your business, then 30 your salary on top of that. Mm-hmm. All right?
Mm-hmm.
So a third, that was fine. Then getting resignated, that's a total that experience. I lost $1 million account once. I spent $10 million, lost it, taking a good amount of money, but I lost a big account in insurance. That compared to the losing my church job, because it's who I am.
Yeah.
I've been doing 27 years. It's part of what I am. It's like separating myself from myself. Very challenging. That was a whole, let's just put that, took a lot of work on that one. Losing my stepfather, losing my grandfather, my father. Learn to be content with the content that God has provided in my life.
Mm-hmm.
He's done this for his reasons. I don't know what content God has put in your life. I do know one. I know she ain't liking her job. Have they cut your pay by 30%?
Nah.
Not yet?
Not yet.
All right. So, there's something to be grateful for, sis. All right. Now, I'll say this. doesn't mean that you're going to be blown into safe harbors.
That's right.
I want you to think about these men, these gentlemen here. John the Baptist. Was he a godly man?
Yes.
Uh-huh. Absolutely. Humble, listen to the Spirit, sails out wide, full steam ahead, saying whatever he's got to say.
Mm-hmm.
What happened to him?
Behead.
Jesus. Was he a fairly spiritual human being?
Yes.
Oh, yes.
Yes. Was he submitting to the Father? Was he totally humble? Was he a great example? Absolutely. Yes. What happened to him?
Died on the cross.
Paul. Was he a fairly spiritual human being? Yes. What happened to him? He was beaten, his stone was shipwrecked, and he was flogged. Ultimately, he was crucified.
That's right.
What's that?
That's a that's right.
Yeah. And then you guys might know, does anybody know about Ignatius and Polycarp?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, what do you know about them? What
yes,
happened
sir, to them? Yes, sir, the heretics.
Yeah.
Polycarp is a great hero in the faith. That brother stood. He was burned.
Yeah, he
burned alive.
But how did he die?
Was impaled, but...
That's right. He did burn the fire. They burned him at stake.
Yeah.
Great scene, but a guy who wanted to put his sails, he put his sails out and he was used by God. They used me. But they burned the stake. That wasn't effective, so they ran a spear through. Anybody about Ignatius? How he died?
When he beat him to death? When he went...
Close.
Or was that coming that got beat? They got
take,
tired of beating him?
Take the B out of it. He was not beaten, but he was
eaten
by two lions.
Yeah, eaten. Okay. Okay. Gotcha. Yeah.
Put his sails out there and said, I'm going to be used by God. Now, there's a reason why you guys don't have your sails out full.
That's right.
It's called self-preservation. I'm telling you.
Yeah.
And everybody wants to do it. We all want to be saved. We don't want to be lost. We want to be saved. What this requires, if you want to get in this place of independence, you've got to put yourselves out and take some risks.
Mm-hmm.
You got to be able to take yourself, put yourself in a place that you don't want to go to. But just know that these guys, they're in a pretty good place now.
Yeah.
That's the hope, right?
Yeah.
That's the hope. You got to ask, how do you feel right now in this safe place that you're in? Do you feel like you feel fired up and super excited and enthusiastic about your life? These guys live their life with passion. But they put themselves, they live for it. And so, I know this. Odds are, most people won't give this today. But it's not for everybody. Paul's not everybody. John the Baptist is everybody. Jesus is in no category. Ignatius and Polycarp, they're not everybody. Most people won't do this. And most of us won't do it. So I'm not going to pretend that. But if a couple of us do it, if three or four of us do it, we have a chance to actually live this out. And yet, there may be some challenging harbors ahead for us. But it will help more people by those three or four people doing it than all of us staying comfortable. It's just who's going to put their sails out, who's going to be humble, who's going to be used. And so this is something I'm learning, that God needed to get my attention. He put a lot of content in my life that was a little overwhelming. But it got me in a place where he's got my ear. And I'm going to go where he wants me to do, whatever he wants me to do. He's been preparing me and stripping me. He's just like, what? I don't know what, you can help me figure out what it is, but I feel like this. I feel like there's some kind of machine that's not good. Like there's a comfortable tube that I can go through.
Yeah.
Like you can pull me through it, maybe grease it a little bit. Shoo! No, that's not what it is. This is like some sort of tube that gets smaller in different shapes, and it's bent like this, and it's like this, and he's pulling me through the thing. Come on, it's like an extruder. Mm-hmm. And we're going to extrude out of you the character of Christ, because what's in you is the flesh of Kevin, but I want to pull it. What comes out of this is going to be more like the character of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And I'll tell you, it's an interesting experience. He doesn't always use Novocaine. So, learning to be content with the content, regardless of how it looks on earth, what's happening in the last 11 months doesn't look very good. But what is it producing in me that might give me a chance to be like in heaven? You know, what we see in Paul's life, Peter's life, you know, these guys, what they looked like on earth was tough. But the hope is in heaven. It looks really, really good.
Mm-hmm.
We have to be in a faithful place. We'll come to that in a minute. Being sure of what we hope or certain what we cannot see. This is where really the rubber meets the road, guys. If you're not willing to just close your eyes and really think this is about heaven, this is about eternity, you'll never make it here. You won't have enough motivation in your spirit to take where you need to go.
That's right.
Do not fear the one who can kill, but fear the one who, after killing the body, can throw both the body and the soul.
I don't know. I messed that one up.
No worries, there, brother.
I must not have my reading glasses. I know what it's supposed to say. I will fix that one. Into hell. Matthew 10, verse 28. So there is, we do need to have a healthy fear of God. He's trying to motivate us. Who of us did not fear our father? If you had a father and he told you to do something, if he's worth his salt, you had a little bit like, I need to do this. Mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah.
Mama bear too. Mm-hmm. Not taking mama out of this. If you got on your father and mother means fear us when we tell you to. Right, Chris? It's because you're on your own. You still got their voice in your head, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah? You know when they say to do something, they only 3 hours away. They sent us for a reason. Just to remind you, it's just a little drive. Yeah. You're just awesome. Hey, what are you guys doing? Mom and Dad want you to know we're not far away. Number three, we'll close with this one. Don't outguess God. Amen. Don't outguess God. Back to this, if you just focus on being adequate power by the Holy Spirit, you can stop trying to figure out what God is doing. God is acutely aware of the daily details of your life. Now, I got to be honest with you. I can't say for sure that I believe he's aware of all of your life. I can say this. I do believe, and I genuinely say this, that he's aware of the details of my life. That's just the space I'm operating in. But it's not because I'm not always operated that way. Actually, I'll say this. For the first time in 30 years, I'm operating on faith. First time in 30 years, I actually believe I'm operating on faith. The belief that God is actually working in my life, second by second, minute by minute, hour by hour. I believe that. And the reason I believe is not because I've had some sort of religious experience, just because I've seen things happen. He's been doing things.
Yes.
What comes to mind is, my wife says that, yes, because she's seen it. So, just being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we cannot see, Hebrews 11:1. So, on April 13th this year, got to do something. I'm on the phone. My severance for the church salary, has resonated. Yeah, we got some severance. I'm very grateful we had a little severance there. That was fantastic. I wish it would have been about 10 or 15 years of severance. Wish it would have been 1 year for every year in the ministry. That's what I was, that'd be great. It's like that movie, what's that movie, the love movie about the machine sucks the life out of it?
Princess Bride?
Yeah, Princess Bride. Did Princess Bride, anybody seen that movie?
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, the machine that sucks life out of you. That's what the ministry does. It sucks life out of you. That's why you need to go to God. You spend more time with God than in the ministry, because it's a dangerous animal. Anyway, severance was going to run out. And so it was Friday, April 13th. And I said, early in the morning, I talked to Chris Goodman, a good brother in the church. And I said, Chris, I'm thinking about doing this nonprofit called Spiritual Solutions, blah, 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 blah. And he gave me a big photo conference. He said, well, you got to do something. That's just him, though. That's how he just works. He doesn't talk. He just works. He has two jobs. But it's Chris Goodman here, right? I said, Chris, listen, man, today is the day my severance begins to run out. So if I don't make income today, when the first comes around, that's how you get paid, right? You work the middle, and they pay you on the first of the work you did halfway through. Mm-hmm. So my thinking is, hey, if I don't start now, I will not have a paycheck on the first, so I will not have enough money to pay my bills. He goes, I really want to believe something's going to happen, because if God is in control of this hour by hour, minute by minute, second by second, then today would be the day he does something. But there's nothing for me to hope in. I have no job offers. I have nothing. I don't have applications in. Hardly have offers without applications. Because we actually had a contract. We were awarded, but there's been a government emergency that has taken money away from that contract. So we have a contract, but there's no funds. And I'm like, seriously, God? Really? Really? You all know what I'm saying. So it's like 9:30 in the morning. I'm like, just believe something's going to happen. There's nothing going to happen. And I don't operate this guy. That's not how I function. I just wait to see what happens and just, okay. But in my heart, I'm like, God, if you're doing this. So 30 minutes later, I'm talking to my insurance boss who cut my salary by 30%. The reason he cut my salary was because I had a really sweet deal. I was given an increase over other people because when I came on board, I gave up some of my accounts to somebody else. And so the owner at that time said, look, I'm going to give you some more money because you're giving this stuff up. I said, that's great. But it was not in writing. My grandfather always says, get that stuff in writing, and I didn't have it in writing. So my new boss comes along and goes, forget that. That's back then. This is a new regime. And he told me, he said, anyway, so I didn't really put up a fuss of it, but I wanted to explain to him, I wanted him at least to know why I got the deal. I said, there's a reason, a very specific reason. So I went to meet with him that morning after I talked to Chris Goodman, and I said, hey, Todd, I said, listen, here's the deal. I want you to know why. I said, back then it didn't matter. I had money, I could pay my bills. Coming up sooner, I can't pay my bills. And so I want to at least let you know why. And he's like, well, blah, 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 not much credibility. It didn't go, that was not going very far. But it's funny, he said, so Kevin, what are you going to do? I want you to keep in mind something. I've been working for this company for 5 years, 15 years in the insurance, but this company, the insurance company that currently had for 5 years. I was averaging about 2 hours every week or 2 weeks. On a busy week, it'd be every week. But typically, because I basically put church first, and then I would just kind of maintain whatever I had in insurance. But I didn't do any work to develop it over 5 years. And so they gave me an award 1 year. Every year they have awards they give out for high sales and effective people. But there's a couple of joke awards. They make fun of people, right? So I got one called the Ghost Producer. That's because I haunt the place. They never see me. And so, but my boss said, he goes, Kevin, what are you going to do? He says, what are you going to do? I said, I have no idea. And I'll never forget this because I wrote it down. Anyway, he looked at me and goes, so if I had to bail you out for a while, what would that look like? Like, I'm trying to process what he just said. He just told a guy who's been coming an average work ethic of 2 hours a week. He said, if I have to bail you out, turns out I found out later, not more than 5 years, I didn't know his father was a preacher. Like a Pentecostal preacher. My boss is like me. Okay, that's what I'm saying. All right. So I'm like, he's a preacher? I had no idea. But anyway, so we had this conversation. Went back and forth a little bit. And he basically came to the agreement that he would bail me out for a year. Mm-hmm. It doesn't quite cover everything we need. But let's just put it this way. I told another brother who's an insurance agent in the church, he goes, are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? No one does that. No one does that. When you understand how much the grace that I was given, mm-hmm. compared to the work ethic I showed, mm-hmm. you showed up your boss, your work, you'd be fired. Right? I should have been fired. He told me later, actually. He told me, he said, Kevin, when I cut your pay by 30%, I don't care if you stay or go. Yeah, what are you? Who are you? I don't even know who you are. You hardly ever came around. But it just showed God had done all these things in the background. Can cause some other things to happen that stirred his interest and softened his heart. So, one more thing that happened. So, with church, we do this. There's a brother named Dave Simmons who does a. Where are we at time wise? I need to get here. Okay, I'll try to wrap it. I'm almost done here. So as church, we do a Sunday school. Dave Simmons is an amazing brother. He does teaching, just teaching through Old Testament, New Testament. He's just got a passion for it. I really want to encourage you, if you have a passion for teaching, I would, even in this church's size, I would encourage you to develop that. It was a lifeline for me. I went through a lot of struggles as I was going through all those life challenges, but this Sunday school kept me alive. Because all it was not church. It was just reading the Bible. It was learning. And emptying my mind and just letting stuff come in. It wasn't trying to reinforce our doctrine. It was more about just learning the Bible, learning. And one of the things that mattered the most to me was that we learned about the church in the first century and the struggles and the challenges they had. And so I was so thankful to Dave Simmons. I said, hey, Dave, if you ever, because I was doing nothing, mind you, I've not spoken a word of, from the time I resigned, I've not said anything from the pulpit. Not a word. To this day. Okay? And so, that's been 11 months. And so, that's been an interesting experience by itself. Learning from leading and being a voice to being silent in the same facility. Mm-hmm. Interesting. Most people don't do this, and I understand why. It takes a lot of work to stick around. But anyway, back in January, February, whatever, I was telling Dave, I'm so grateful for the class. He goes, listen, if you're ever out of town, or if you need help, I'd be happy to teach a class. He goes, funny you should say that. About 3 months from now, I need this class taught. This one. Does anyone know what this is? This first one? First one? David, anybody know what that is?
Part of the Apocrypha.
It's basically, it's a letter written by the Pope of
from Rome in Italy to the church in Corinth, the Corinthian church, the same one Paul wrote to in 1st, 2nd Corinthians, okay? But it was written around 90 AD, about 40 to 50 years later. And basically, I didn't know that until a week before I was supposed to teach. See, remember he told me 3 months out? He said, 3 months out? Hey, 3 months from now, so much was going on in life, I'm like, I just don't have time to read this thing. So I called him the week before. I said, hey, Dave, I'm with Lisa. It's right Mother's Day. It's like Mother's Day, and we're going out overnight. And I said, Dave, listen, I just don't have time. This PowerPoint thing confused me, technology. So I was not familiar with PowerPoint. And so I'm becoming more familiar. But anyway, I said, I don't have time because he does this great job. I don't have time. I'm sorry. I'm just going to have to back out. And he goes, okay, well, I'll let the group know. Lisa overhears me. I'm about to back out of this commitment I made. And so she wants to offer her assistance. She goes, honey, I'll help you. That's the night before we're going out, and we're going out overnight. I'm like, I don't want to mess this up. I don't want to turn down my wife's help. It's not a good idea. But at the same time, I know I'm not likely to get a lot. She's very, very busy with a younger daughter. And I'm like, how's this going to go? I'm like, Dave, it's okay. Lisa's going to help me. Okay, bro. He didn't bail me out at all. I don't know how long he did. He just hung up. Left me on the hook. So anyway. So I start. That's why I said, well, I got to commit to it. So I start reading it. And here's what it is. It's basically Clement is writing to the church of Corinth and says, I'm not happy with you. Here's why I'm not happy with you. You have let a few people stir you up into such a frenzy that you have removed your leaders who are noble, good standing, knowledgeable, and hospitable. They're knowledgeable, good standing, hospitable, and something else. Good people. He says, you know, I help people just get upset. And you took them out. You should not have done that. Now you need to put them back in. Now, if you caught the idea that I have not said anything from the church since I was resignated. So I'm about to come into church and teach the class that Dave asked me 3 months ago, because I'm about to tell, you know what that happened, guys? Is people got really mad, they took out some nice people, and they're supposed to put them back in place. These are the only words that are going to come out of my mouth in 11 months. So, I said, I called Dave, do you know what's in here? He goes, no, I have no idea. But let me tell you. So he called one of the teachers, John Oakes, in San Diego, who's one of the big teachers in our movement. John, do you know what's in here? This is what's going to happen. Kevin's supposed to teach tomorrow. He goes, well, Kevin's kind of a spiritual dude. Tell him to put it out there. I got people put me in the front of the fire. Like, okay. So anyway, and then one of my best friends is like, you just put it out there. And I'm like, yeah, you guys, you have no idea. So as I start to go teach class, as I'm saying these lines, one of the main people that's helped me get resignated is walking right by, and they don't know I'm teaching. So all of a sudden, they find out I'm teaching class, and how does this look in front of them? Oh, like, because I'm not doing well. Let's not go too far down the rabbit hole. Let's just say this. God has a sense of He will do whatever it takes to help us get where we need to be.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You're in this church, in this place for a reason. I really
yes.
believe that.
Yes.
You don't get to hide anywhere. You
That's
wish
right.
you could hide. It's part of some days, man, I wish I could just be a part of 1,000 people. Like this. We just want, sometimes people say, we want a big church so we can have less attention to ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
You have so much more weight in this situation. But if you allow God to use you, no matter who you are, He can use you in one way or another. But if you take out your ambitions and stop trying to think about it from your perspective, instead just say, God, use me. Just use me. And these things I share with you capture just a few moments that God has given you in the last year. I want to encourage you to walk by faith. That for you to expect that God is moving and will move on your behalf. This thing is one of the more difficult things people have because we question an awful lot. If you can make that shift to just trust that God is moving, I think you'll start seeing how He's doing it more.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're wondering if, then you're not walking by faith. And without faith, it's impossible to please God.
Amen.
So the final theme, so let's recap through it.
Let's be content with God's timing. Trust he's moving the exact second down to the minute. He's popping tires left and right. So next time someone, just roll with it. Roll with it. That to be content with the content. That what will prepare you to be what you need to become to take the journey you're on. Stop praying for the change in the venue. Because God is plenty capable. It's funny, isn't it funny? You pray that God will change things because you believe he has the power to do it. Do you think he didn't have the power to change you before you prayed? You think he's somehow unable to move you out of your situation? Like, that's why? Maybe you should think to yourself that when I, remember the sailboat thing? When my sails are out and I step in that space, God will take me where I went to be. But if my sails are down, I keep praying, God, blow on me, blow on me, push me, push me, push me. He's like, I am! I am! It's like a 17-knot wind going your way, but there ain't no sails, Jack. There's no faith. If you'll just trust yourself, drift. You do the falling game. All of us have done the falling game at some point. Most of us have. You fall back, we'll catch you. Okay. Let's just put our sails up and just embrace this, okay? But be content by stopping the guessing of God's plans for you. Trust in faith. Set sail. See this beautiful boat now? Look at those sails.
Yeah, man.
Set sail and I'm Welsh. The next time I see you, I hope that you will have done one or two of you. Well, I said, you know what? I have put sails out. Let me tell you, I've cleared my mind. I just want to be used by God. And tell me what you can move back. Well, one way or another, one of those guys drops out. We're not worth being. Just code for me saying, if I get a message from parents, come down. You may have to say, someone else bailed out. Chris Colbeck. No, much luck for Chris Colbeck. I don't know if you guys know him. I'll say it from him. He won't say it. But a lot of props for him. He's worked through a lot. And God has made it very clear for him this year. Football is not his focus. It's here to put his sails out and be used and be a little pioneer and make things happen. And he's got the heart to do it. And we have a lot of love for Chris. And Chris and my son Trevor are very, very good friends. And so I'll say this, guys. This is Polycarp, as Sydney was talking about. He was burning. I have to read this sentence because the fire was burning, raging. It was a massive fire. But he wasn't being burned. Because our lives, because we trust ourselves, doesn't mean it's going to be pretty to the outside. But heavenly, towards God, it can be an amazing thing. And so they had to run through the sphere to kill him. And he was like about 90 or 100 years old. Something even more than that. So he served the Lord 86 years. Mm-hmm. 86 years. So let's put ourselves out. Let's be used by God. Let's hear about some things. And don't worry about how it looks to anyone else.
That's right.
You'll know. Look, right now, this is what people told me, this final time. I'm being told, imagine this is a preacher. You're like, work hard at what you do. You want to be effective at speaking. Somebody came and he said, man, I think you're giving some of your best sermons from right there. What they mean is, me sitting in my chair, being quiet, saying nothing, is one of my loudest sermons.
That's right.
That's not what I want to hear. I want to hear how good I look and how great I'm doing, how effective I am. But they say sometimes his. So for you, don't be confused. You can preach a powerful message without any words.
Amen.
Amen.
Let's pray.